Our state capitol report continues, talking about a hearing at the state capitol last week on a bill that would establish mandatory minimum sentences for felons who commit violent gun crimes. We will talk with two Milwaukee state lawmakers who have different views on this bill coming up next, and we will welcome your questions and your perspective at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest is LaTanya Johnson, a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee and the co-author of a bill that would provide mandatory minimum sentences for felons who commit violent gun crimes. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Lay out for us what your bill would do.
Basically, what AB 220 does is it imposes a mandatory 3-year sentence for individuals who have been convicted of violent felonies in the past who are caught in illegal possession of handguns. If these individuals then choose to use those same handguns to perform other violent crimes, then they'll get an additional 5 years for a total of 8 years. So essentially what this bill is trying to do is to target those repeat violent offenders who continue to cause havoc on the city streets of Milwaukee.
And why do you think mandatory minimum sentences would be the way to go?
The mandatory minimum sentences are the way to go because they assure sanctions. They let these offenders know that if you commit a crime and you've already been convicted of a violent crime, then you're going to jail. And you're going to jail for a specific amount of time. The problems that we have right now currently is that our gun laws are too weak. And there were 15,000 violent felonies committed in the state last year. 11,000 of those violent felonies came from right here in the city of Milwaukee. For individuals who have to live and work in the city of Milwaukee, the quality of life is eroding because people are afraid of becoming victims of these violent, senseless attacks. And it's time that we said enough is enough.
You and Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor, who we will be talking to after our news break, had a bit of an exchange during a public hearing last week. Taylor said that mandatory minimums have not been proven to be effective. Why do you say she's wrong about that?
I don't say that Lena's wrong about that. To a certain degree, she is right. Mandatory minimum sentences have been known to not work for nonviolent offenders. Those individuals who haven't performed violent crimes, who are getting mandatory sentences for drug crimes and things such as that. But there is no statistics to say mandatory sentences do not work for violent offenders. As a matter of fact, it's the only thing that works for violent offenders because these offenders cannot offend if they are incarcerated. If they are locked up and off the street, there is not the possibility for them to offend. And that is what we are trying to get at.
We are talking with LaTanya Johnson, a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee, co-author of a bill that would establish mandatory minimum sentences for felons who commit violent gun crimes. We welcome your questions for her and your reaction to this idea. Do you support this idea or not? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You reportedly said at the hearing last week that this bill would not solve all of Milwaukee's gun violence, but that it's a start. Anything else you'd like to see done?
There are a lot of things that I would like to see done. For example, Milwaukee needs universal, Wisconsin needs universal background checks. I can legitimately go to Gander Mountain and purchase a gun. But I can take that same gun and put it on armswith.com and sell it to anyone I want without a background check. Now, I might be a law-abiding citizen, and Gander Mountain has proved that because they have done a background check and I've passed. But what about the individual that I'm selling this gun to? Milwaukee has a time to crime rate of 3 years. And the only reason that that's 3 years is because there was one gun that was from the 1950s. Technically, there's about a six-month time to crime from the time a gun is purchased to the time that it's being used in a crime. That's an issue. It doesn't matter how many times you're caught on the streets with an illegal handgun. As long as you are not committing a felony with that handgun, it is a misdemeanor. A misdemeanor. That needs to change in the state of Wisconsin. If I buy a gun for a convicted felon, known as a straw purchase, and I get caught, it's a misdemeanor. And even if I get caught, all I have to do is lie and say that my gun was lost or stolen. There's no law requiring me to report that my gun is lost or stolen. And if I am a concealed carry holder, the only thing that prevents me from being a concealed carry holder in the state of Wisconsin is if I have been convicted of a felony, then I cannot carry. I'm not eligible for a permit. Or on the federal level, if I have a case of domestic violence. Now, it doesn't matter if those misdemeanors are violent misdemeanors or if they started off as felonies and they were plea bargained down to misdemeanors, I am still eligible for a concealed carry permit. And in Milwaukee, there's something known as the human holster. It's where you will find a group of maybe four individuals or more, or maybe even one. But the individual is a convicted felon, so they can't be in possession of a handgun. But their buddy hasn't been convicted of a felony. He only has misdemeanors. So he applies for the concealed carry, and he carries for the group. It's an issue with that. We have to make sure that the residents are safe in this state. I am not against individuals' rights to bear arms. I'm not. And in some cases in the inner city, I can understand why that's even more necessary than not. But what I am against is making sure that our gun laws are so lax that not only does it give individuals who are law-abiding citizens the right to carry, but those who are not. Yeah. And that's what's killing the individuals on the streets of Milwaukee, is our lax gun laws.
But Representative Johnson, what about those who say that the people who are killing people in Milwaukee are not applying for concealed carry permits and are not buying their, shows or their guns through gun shows?
Well, that's not necessarily so, because I've just talked about the human holster. Those individuals have not been convicted of felonies. They have been convicted of misdemeanors, and some of those misdemeanors are violent misdemeanors, but they still have the right to conceal carry. And maybe they're right. The individuals who are committing these crimes are not buying guns at the gun show, but there are individuals who are, and then turning around and selling those guns on the streets of Milwaukee because it's legal.
Milwaukee is one of just of many U.S. Cities that it is experiencing a big jump in violent crime this year. Do you have any thoughts as to why this is happening?
I don't have any thoughts as to why we're seeing an increase in gun violence around this country. The only thing that I can say is maybe easy access, and access for those individuals that shouldn't own guns. And that's what gun laws are designed to do. It's designed to protect the general public. And sometimes as elected, we vote on bills because they're popular, and we don't necessarily understand the repercussions of those bills. I know I shouldn't be saying this in public or on the radio, but that's the reality of it. And sometimes our research isn't done or it's flawed, or sometimes we do bills for all the wrong reasons. But what we always should make sure that we have a commitment to, and that's making sure that we have a commitment to pass laws and legislation that will affect the overall general public in a positive way. And the gun laws in this state are so weak that they fail to do that.
Yeah. On a different matter, what do you make of Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett's budget proposal to equip all 1,200 patrol officers in Milwaukee with body cameras by the end of next year?
I think it's necessary. I think it's necessary to start to create amends between the police officers, a broken relationship that's between the police officers and our ordinary citizens. I think that we deserve the right to know that when our officers make stops, that they're making these stops legitimately. But these officers also deserve that additional protection. They need that to protect themselves just as much as the public needs it to protect their interests. So I think it's an excellent idea. I want to say that it's long overdue, but, you know, everything has a cost, and we have to weigh those costs with what's needed. So I think it's a wonderful idea, and I'm excited to see that happen.
We have less than a minute to go. Are you optimistic that the bill that you co-authored that provides the mandatory minimum sentences for felons who commit violent gun crimes will pass the legislature?
I am confident that it will pass the legislature because this bill does exactly what it's designed to do, and that is take those individuals who are putting our citizens at risk to get them off the street. And this bill does only that. It only targets those individuals who are violent felons. If you haven't been convicted of one of the 40 violent crimes listed previously, this bill will not affect you. If you are caught with that gun, illegal possession with that gun, you're only going to get a mandatory 3-year sentence. If you are committing another violent crime, you're going to get an additional 5 years, as you should, because this bill is designed to take those offenders off the street and protect the citizens who live and work in Milwaukee and call it home.
Thank you so much for being with us. LaTanya Johnson, Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee. We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will hear from State Senator Lena Taylor. This is the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. We just heard from State Representative LaTanya Johnson, a Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee, who is the co-author of a bill that would establish mandatory minimum sentences for felons who commit violent gun crimes. Now we will hear from a state senator with a different viewpoint on this. Lena Taylor is a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee and a member of the Senate's Judiciary and Public Safety Committee, which held a public hearing on this gun possession bill last week. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Joy. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for joining us on Labor Day morning. You did say at last week's public hearing that mandatory minimum sentences are ineffective. Why don't you think they work?
All the statistics show it. If you were to ask any expert agency about it that has done correction reform work, their statistics show that mandatory minimums have not been effective and that they create disparate results.
Yeah, and Representative Johnson said that you're right when it comes to mandatory minimums in some ways. But she said the intent of this bill is to make sure that violent felons using guns and in violent gun felonies are off the streets. What about that?
Representative Johnson was not completely honest with you and your listeners. The truth of the matter is the bill does three things that I think are sad. One, it strips judges of discretion. And I don't believe that that's good because judges are on the ground of whatever the case is, the facts and the incidents that exist, number one. Number two, DA discretion really may be another piece in this of whether or not those crimes are charged, dismissed, or whatever they are, and I believe that most are charged, and most of the people are getting the amount of time that the representative speaks of, but she doesn't speak about this thing, which is a person who's not in a violent crime also gets a mandatory minimum. This bill is not that. This bill is strictly about stripping judges of their discretion and giving a one-size-fits-all kind of scenario, which is often not, I would argue, an effective way to do it. I think there are many data-driven strategies that we should be using that have been proven to work, that have reduced violence by 70% or thereabouts.
What would be an alternative to this that would reduce the crime?
We have one example in our own state. Community-orientated police houses that they used in Racine reduced their violence by 70%. Yeah. And is much less costly than this million-dollar archaic approach of uninformed and small-mindedness.
Yeah. What Johnson reportedly suggested that you speak to a family of a gun victim in her district and explain to them why the shooter doesn't need a mandatory minimum. What is your response?
As a matter of fact, if you look at the case where Grover Ferguson, who was a 17-year-old, had shot someone in a carjacking, you know what that victim said? These young people need help. You know what they did in High Point, North Carolina? They gave individuals door number one, sort of say, and door number two. Door number one is open. You're going to go to prison. Door number two is we're going to help you to be on the right track. Many of these individuals, if you look at them and you look at their age, these are individuals who might have been in the foster care system, individuals who might have mental health issues. And this really also stems to the lack of adequate services that are being provided to individuals on the forefront. Or, for that matter, if they've, you know, been picked up in the process, what did we do? So part of what my position is we need to be smarter on crime. We need to not use the same archaic ideas of the past where we were, quote-unquote, being tough on crime, but that what we do is be smart on crime and use data-driven strategies. You know, gun violence is one component of how we get to the issues that exist in our community. But really at the root of it is poverty, a lack of access, you know, a lack of, I would call it, guidance and support that people maybe needed earlier on in life. And I would argue that we already have punishment for felons who are illegally possessing guns. It's a 10-year sentence and a $10,000 fine. If I'm not mistaken, $10,000 fine or $25,000, one or two. Either way it goes, my point is we already have the law that can be used. Not to mention they can be prosecuted at the federal level. What we have not done is used what we have. We could make our relationship with the federal government more effective on these type of cases instead of spending millions of dollars to lock up one person or two or whatever.
We are talking with State Senator Lena Taylor, a member of the Senate's Judiciary and Public Safety Committee, which held a public hearing last week on a gun possession bill that would establish mandatory minimum sentences for felons who commit violent gun crimes. And we're welcoming your thoughts and your questions on this. Lena Taylor does not support this legislation. She's telling us why. Do you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Do you believe that mandatory minimum sentences are called for when it comes to violent gun felonies? Or do you think there's a better way to reduce gun violence than mandatory minimums? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn testified last week that violent criminals are well aware of gun laws and take steps to make sure possession charges only amount to misdemeanors. He said that if they knew they were looking at up to 8 years minimum in prison, that they might think twice. What's your response to Police Chief Flynn's statement?
Joy, I don't believe that creating laws is what's going to change the violence in the community because it's going to, quote-unquote, influence the way they think. I think we need to influence the way people think by giving options and helping to put people on a different path. Part of the issue is if you're a 17-year-old that's being engaged in carjacking, or if you're, you know, a young man who at the age of 12 was abandoned by your parents, you know, I'm just saying, in that situation, Sylvester Lewis, he got 10 years in prison. So getting the time, and it's more than the amount of time that the representative and the chief speak to, so changing their mind in that way is not what's going to happen. What we need to do is we need to address the issues that people have up front, earlier on, and even when they first get in the system. Like, for example, the kind of work they did at High Point, North Carolina, the kind of work they've done in Racine, actually the kind of work that Andre Lielis has done on Ninth and Ring, meeting the young people where they are and giving them hope. Then you change their mind. Giving hope and opportunity is what changes minds, not more of the same, and creating additional laws that have made us the, you know, leaders in incarceration, when what we could do is use what we have on the books. So I would just argue, Joy, there are more effective ways to do things than I get, and less costly ways to do things. You know, I get that some people can't think of what to do, but that's why you need to let the experts give those data-driven strategies and not shoot from the hip and do what looks good on TV. This is not going to turn around the violence issue in Milwaukee until people have jobs, until people are, frankly, provided with better skills on relationships and so on and so forth. These are the things that we have to do.
Yeah, Milwaukee and other cities are having a jump in violent crime this year. How concerned are you that this is just going to get worse, or do you think 2015 is just an anomaly?
I'm extremely concerned that it's going to get worse because we have, per capita, we lead. And it is because of 52% or more of African-American men are unemployed. It is because 15% of kids can only read on grade level, and 30% of parents are functionally literate. It's because people have difficulty being able to get jobs and opportunities. And so people see no hope, and frankly, people don't value life in the same. I would argue that those are the things at the root that we should address. We should address police-community relationships at the root. And if it could happen in Racine, I would argue it can happen in Milwaukee. It wasn't mandatory minimums that did it. It was on-the-ground community police relations that made the difference. You know, crimes are usually done in the heat of passion. And so, you know, it's without thought. So we're not going to be able to change people by saying, this is what you're going to get. You know, people who are often in that, you know, mindset also say, I'd rather be carried by six. I mean, judged by 12 than carried by six. We've got to change the mindset overall about the value of life and the opportunities that people have and that exist. And we've got to do those things up front and immediate when people are in the system. And these ideas are archaic. And I get it that the mayor, the chief, and Representative Johnson and Representative Bowen, even with the amendment, that they may not get what else can be done. And it's sad. Because the truth of the matter is, taking away judicial discretion as the answer to violence is not it. Because someone could have a case from years ago and possess a weapon, and they're going to prison for 3 years. And it could be in their house.
Let me ask you before we...
that it makes it okay.
And Senator Taylor, we have less than a minute, and I wanted to get your take as well on Mayor Barrett's budget proposal that would equip all 1,200 police officers with body cameras by the end of next year. Is that a good move?
Actually, I think that the Hamilton family's request for body cameras and Alderwoman Malele Cog's suggestion for body cameras that the mayor was not originally willing to do is great that they're doing it on the forefront. But what the heck is it if they can cut off the camera? So, I am very challenged by that the mayor is always choosing to do things that are not, I would argue, thought through well and in the end did not fully address the issues on the street. We need community orientated policing done more effectively. We need cultural competency training, mental health consistently, and we need de-escalation training. And he completely ignores that topic.
And we will have more on that on another show. Thanks for being with us, State Senator Lena Taylor. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network.